Tech Talk with Jess Kelly. This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll look at the stance of the US presidential candidates on tech and what a red or blue win could mean for the industry. Clushing Midfwee app Nua Kula Kahar, and as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so at any stage. Drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But we're going to start this week with the US presidential election. I have found myself glued to the news, the updates, and unfortunately, the hot takes online. But as Kamala Harris steps forward as the Democratic nominee, we're going to take a look at what both she and Donald Trump have said about the tech sector. Anthony Ha is the weekend editor at TechCrunch based in New York, and he is with me now. Anthony, it's great to have you on the show. It's obviously been a pretty historic week in terms of the US presidential elections. This month alone has seen some very dramatic events, from the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump, the dropping of cases against him. We had the Republican National Convention. And then, of course, President Joe Biden has withdrawn from the race. VP Kamala Harris is now front and center for the Democrats. But what do we know about her stance on the tech sector? Like, I know that she's from the Bay Area in San Francisco, which is a tech hotbed. But do we know anything more about her views and opinions?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. I think that my sense is that Harris's stance on technology has definitely evolved over the years, in the same way that I think the U.S. government's stance has evolved. You know, as you mentioned, she came up, her early political career was in the San Francisco Bay Area. She was then California's attorney general. And in those roles, she certainly has, you know, taken positions to regulate technology or control technology. But in general, she's been a cheerleader for the industry. A lot of her biggest supporters came from the industry, and critics of the tech industry have pointed out that, you know, the, you know, companies like Facebook and Google really kind of continued growing and came to dominate the US economy in a lot of ways while she was attorney general, and she didn't necessarily do a lot to control that. But, you know, I think as particularly after the 2016 election, she became a senator, there was a lot of questions about misinformation. And then I think she started to take more of a critical tone, asking about misinformation on Facebook and other platforms. And then as vice president under Joe Biden, she has, you know, I think taken the lead on AI, and there hasn't necessarily been a lot of strong regulation on that yet, but she's been kind of the face of efforts to, you know, put out this executive order to get, you know, voluntary agreements from the major AI developers to get them to report, to report on, you know, the results of their testing and things like that. So in general, I think she has taken more of an aggressive stance as time has gone on, but still not that aggressive.
We know that President Biden has had a long-standing stance on big tech. He's repeatedly said for many years that there is need for stronger regulation and that manners needs to be put on the sector as a whole. Like, he is one of the, and has been for many years now, one of the most outspoken on big tech. Have we heard anything as strong or as stark, like relating to that or even in tune with that, from Kamala Harris in recent years?
Not in the recent past. I think that she, you know, when there's specific controversy, she'll often respond to it. But I think the framing that she has often suggested is that, you know, I think in that they're sometimes seen as this tension between kind of innovation and regulation, and the needle that she seems to be trying to thread with her statements is to say that, you know, having some degree of regulation actually helps the industry and keeps things safer for Americans. And so I think she you don't see her doing kind of, again, it depends on what you're comparing her to, but I think a lot of her biggest discussions of technology and big tech came when she was, you know, in her previous run for president in 2020. And that was also a race that Senator Elizabeth Warren was running in. And so a lot of that conversation was driven by Senator Warren, who was, you know, a huge opponent of big tech, really, you know, advocated for breaking up the companies. And in that context, you know, Harris said that we should regulate the companies, particularly around privacy, but did not call for any kind of breakup.
Yeah, it's definitely one to watch because, as we're going to talk about later in the show, Mark Zuckerberg this week said that the company, his company, is going to stay out of the election as much as possible and that he as an individual is going to refrain from sharing his own personal views. But obviously, there are very high profile executives in the world of tech that have taken an entirely different approach. I'm curious, from an American voter's point of view, how much weight, if any, do the views of Zuckerberg and Musk and so on hold when it comes to their thinking and ultimately their voting?
My sense is that, I mean, Musk is a little bit of an unusual case because I think he has a kind of unique cult of personality around him. And I don't think necessarily that the average American voter is going to change their vote, but there's a group of people who pay attention to everything he says. And I think not necessarily that they slavishly follow him, but they take it very seriously. And I think certainly Musk saying that he supports Trump, I think will carry a weight with some people. I think in general, you know, people take what the tech CEO seriously in the sense that they take what any kind of business leader takes seriously. But I think there's also a little bit of suspicion around that. And I think, the other question is not just, will people vote a certain way because Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg says, you know, they're going to support someone, but also these are the platforms that they control. This is where we have our conversations about the election. And so if Elon Musk says he supports Trump, what does that mean for people who support Harris on X, formerly Twitter?
We know that Trump is an active social media user. We know about Truth Social. But do we know what his overarching view on the tech sector is as a whole? Like, I've been trying to read up as much as possible, and it's hard to get a clear stance, even on things like, you know, the threat or opportunity of AI. Like, is that just me, or am I missing something? Does he have a clear policy or attitude towards the technology sector?
I mean, I think that it can generally be hard to find a kind of clear ideological through line in Trump's statements on any issue. On technology, I think it's sort of opportunistic, and it seems to depend on who's supporting him in the moment, where his strongest backing is. I think, you know, on two issues, I think it depends on what issue within tech you're talking about. So, for example, on crypto, that's something he's said repeatedly, that he's very, very pro-crypto, doesn't want to regulate crypto. And so I think he's gotten some support from the industry's biggest fans there. On, you know, obviously there's been a lot of discussion about TikTok, and that was an interesting one because when he was president, he was actually very vocal and tried to push through this TikTok ban, which then ultimately got passed under President Biden. And then he's actually become an opponent of the TikTok ban because he basically says he hates Facebook, the parent company Meta, and Facebook, Instagram, all those channels so much that he thinks that it's important to have TikTok there as a way to counterbalance them.
We know that his attitudes towards some of the Chinese companies have had consequences, Huawei being a prime example of that. Obviously, there are consequences from the views and the decisions made by the President of the United States. It's an incredibly powerful role. But is there a clear decision or, sorry, is there a clear picture as to whether a Democratic or Republican president would be better for the sector as a whole?
I don't think there's a very clear answer to that. I mean, I think one indication of that sort of lack of clarity is just the fact that the industry itself, I don't think, obviously some of the highest profile announcements recently about support have come from the red side, people who are supporting Trump, but you know, Silicon Valley and the Bay Area are sort of historically Democratic supporting, and I don't think that's necessarily changed, even though maybe there's been a little bit of a swing to the right. And I think that the certainly, I mean, broadly speaking, right, there's going to be more regulation under a Democratic administration than a Republican one. But how much it's actually going to target the tech industry, I think, is not clear. And, you know, certainly, you know, Vice President Harris probably would be more open to the idea of regulating parts of the tech industry. But, you know, the thing about certainly the U.S. government is there's a lot of things that make it onto a platform, and then a relatively small percentage of them actually get turned into law. So whether or not this would be a priority for a Harris administration, I don't know. I think certainly under a Trump administration, you're going to see less interest in regulating the tech industry, but there are going to be certain areas. I mean, you know, we've seen with Republicans in general, they really like to bring social media CEOs, you know, into DC to kind of grill them about whether or not there's supposed censorship of conservatives on their platforms. They also, you know, have, I think there's sort of a little bit of a bipartisan skepticism about Chinese tech. But I think it's sort of more vocal and more intense on the conservative side. So those are two areas where even if conservatives are generally less inclined to regulate tech, you might still see a lot of activity.
Mm. The final area I want to hit upon is how the election is playing out on social media. If we look back on, say, the last four presidential elections alone in the US, social media has played such a pivotal role. And that obviously includes the good, the bad and the ugly. What's your view or your assessment of how it's playing out this time around? Like, are key conversations still happening on social, or is it a case that, you know, one side is shouting louder than the other, therefore it's not a full representation of the political landscape in America?
I mean, I think that, you know, it sort of goes up and down, but certainly, you know, an election year is always going to lead to a lot more political discussion on social media. If anything's changed, I think that previously, the, you know, political discussion tended to center on Twitter, at least from the politicians and journalists themselves. I think maybe everyday Americans, it might still happen more on Facebook or on other platforms. And then, of course, you know, TikTok is going to play a big role in this one as well. And what's really seems to have happened in the last few years is that conversation has fragmented more. And so the conversation that you're going to see on X, again, which is what used to be Twitter, on TikTok, and then on Instagram, and then on Blue Sky, and then on Threads, like these are all going to be separate conversations. I think what's been striking to me is, you know, the fact that President Biden announced that he's not going to run again first on X, which I think has lost some of the audience that it had before Musk bought it, but it really still is the center of the political conversation. So on the one hand, a lot of fragmentation, very different kinds of conversations happening on different platforms. On the other hand, X is still where, you know, the politicians and the journalists are still making their announcements. It's where they're posting first and where they're checking first.
Mm. And finally, in the wake of the assassination attempt on former President Trump, I noticed a massive wave of mis- and disinformation floating around, even in my own social timelines. From your point of view, I mean, has there been enough conversation and education about misinformation over the last wee while that leaves you feeling more confident and optimistic when it comes to people's understanding this time around?
I think there's certainly been a lot of conversation about it. I don't know that it's made a huge difference. I think they're, you know, the platforms, frankly, are a little bit afraid of getting too involved. Like you said, you know, Zuckerberg says he doesn't really want Meta to be involved in the election this year. And I think not involved in this case often means kind of anything goes. I mean, and that's not literally true. I think they still have rules and they'll take down certain content, but I think they want to be to look as impartial as possible by not stepping in. And I think, you know, part of the challenge, of course, is that when we talk about misinformation, that's also something that we see through our own kind of ideological and partisan lenses. So what I think is misinformation, a different person might say is just, you know, objective truth, and they might think that I'm brainwashed. And so I think that particularly after 2016 and 2020, after COVID, the platform, you know, the social media platforms tried to get more involved and to do more to control the kind of misinformation on their platform. And it feels like this time around, they're a little bit more kind of like giving up is a strong word for it. But I think they've felt a little burned and are going to take less of a heavy hand this time around.
Okay, well, look, needless to say, we will be watching it all unfold over the coming weeks and months with great interest. But for the moment, Anthony Ha, weekend editor with TechCrunch, thank you so much for joining us here on News Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, the amount of noise around this election, I think, is only going to increase. Now, I found the New York Times Daily podcast, or The Daily, to be an excellent way to digest and understand what's going on. If you're not already subscribed, jump on it right away. Just search for The Daily. It's fantastic. They're very rarely longer than 30 minutes, but it's just a really good way to get a summation of what's going on. Right. When we come back here on News Talk, we're going to hear about Apnua Koolikar.